The words to that song, in return for broken dreams, the Lord will mend your soul. He'll give you a new life. The Lord wants to do something beautiful in your life. God's desire, says in Ecclesiastes, is He makes all things beautiful in its time. And that's what God desires to do with your life, with your marriage, with your future. God wants to do something wonderful in your life. That's what God is about. For the last 3 weeks, we've gone over biblical principles on how you can make your marriage more successful. The first week we talked about the commitment of marriage. That God intended marriage to be a lifetime commitment. And I encouraged you to go home and restate that commitment to your spouse. Restate that to your children. And the following week we talked about how to fortify your marriage. How to build it stronger. Make it stronger. And last week we talked about the things that the Bible tells us your spouse needs from you. But if you put all of those things together and try as hard as you can, none of them will be successful without what we talk about today. They will not come together without the element that we talk about today. I've shared this with you all through this series that I was going to be very frank with you during this series, and I'll be very frank with you today. Marriage is not a safe place to live in America, quite honestly. It's taking a tremendous beating from society, from the philosophy of our world. And it's become, actually, a very dangerous place. It's become a place that is not statistically working very well. And many of us here have gone through the ravages or the devastation of a marriage that didn't work out. Others of us are maybe in that right now. Some of the rest of us maybe are just beginning to experience some of those tensions, and we long to know how to make our marriage more vibrant, more alive, how to bring that zest to it. How can we do it? I talk to many people, and here's what I find many people are doing, and I want to really sort of just kill this thought today, but I want to share with you what it is before we kill it. Most of us are looking for someone to blame. Most people are looking for someone to blame for their lack of success in life. And we are a generation that is absolutely committed to finding blame. The bookstores are filled with all the philosophies on dysfunction. And the biggest philosophy of dysfunction is your marriage is not working today because your parents didn't. Your life is not successful today because your parents aren't. Your marriage isn't working today because of your spouse. And I hear this all the time. It's the biggest topic of conversation. I interact with people. Well, I had this happen. People will say, a mate will say to their spouse, well, your mother did that and you're doing the same thing. Your father did that and you're doing the same thing. How do I know our marriage isn't going to turn out just like theirs did? Theirs didn't work and I'm worried ours won't either. Or we look back at our parents and we look at our life and we go, well, I'm just incapable of doing that because my father did this. My mother did that. Now, I know I'm hitting very close to home and I mean to. And I know some of you can have a hard time agreeing with this, but I just want to ask you to follow with me through this morning. Because I think you'll understand. That has got to stop. And I'll tell you why. The real problem in marriage today and in society from a biblical viewpoint is a three-letter word called sin. The real problem in our marriages is us. Not our parents, not our mate, but ourselves. You could try over the next 10 years to do all the things we talked about in the first, second, and third seminar series that we did here on marriage. You could try till you're blue in the face, and I'll tell you this right now. If you do not have Christ in your life, you will never be able to do it. What is destroying marriages today is that we live in a time of unparalleled self-centeredness. We no longer even like the word sin. We no longer even tell people they're responsible for their own actions. People can go to court today, they can do the most heinous crime and blame it on dysfunction, blame it on insanity. They were no more insane than you or I. We have become absolutely a society that blames everybody else for our problems. We cannot do that any longer. If you want your marriage to work, then you today, when I'm finished here and you'll understand this, need to decide, I am the problem. And I can become part of the solution if you allow God to get involved in your life. You see, let me explain something to you about life, about the world. You may not have heard this before. Some of you, this may be very new, and some of you may think this is a myth. It is not a myth. When God created man and woman, He created them absolutely perfect. Adam and Eve have no trouble in their relationship at all. Their marriage was perfect. Everything, their environment was perfect. They had no poverty. They had no shame. They had no fears. They had a perfect walk with God. They lived in a perfect environment. They lived in a beautiful garden that God made for them. And all that God had made for them, He told them, everything you see is yours. Everything. Except one thing. One thing. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day you do, you will die. That is exactly what God told them. And everything else was theirs. Just this one little tree. They disobeyed God. And the day they disobeyed God, the Bible says they died. They sinned. All sin means is to do something contrary to what God says. Now, we can all agree with that here if we're honest. We sin. I do a lot of things that are contrary to God, that are contrary to the way God would do them. Sin means simply missing the mark of perfection. And that's the problem. And ever since that time, that nature of Adam and Eve has been passed to every one of us. We had no choice in the matter. We were born sinners. There's no such thing as a time of perfection after you're born. We're born, from the minute we're born, we're self-centered. All we think about is self. I've raised four children. I can see that in my children. And I remember thinking back in my childhood, I was no innocent little pure little wonderful guy. Neither were you. And it wasn't my parents' fault. When I was 3 years old, it wasn't their fault I had temper tantrums. I hadn't lived with them long enough to learn that. Besides, my parents never did have temper tantrums. I did. I didn't learn my self-centeredness immediately from my parents. It is an inbred, natural thing. It's part of being a human. But it's a deadly part. It's the reason why people die, and it's the reason why relationships die. Because sin is powerful, and it dominates our life. It oppresses us. It grabs us by the throat, and we would like to, sometimes we would like to be someone different, but we're not. Sometimes we would like to have something different, but it seems like we continue in our, guess what we call it today, our addictive behavior. My friends, I want to tell you something. Sin is addictive behavior. We all have addictive behavior because of our sin. Now, God had this plan. God knew, you see, that sin demands a payment, demands a penalty. In fact, if Jesus Christ did not come, we would be absolutely hopeless here today. We wouldn't even have this church. Did you know that? Did you know that the millions of people across America today in the world who are meeting in the name of Christ would not even be there today if Christ did not come and died? There'd be no such thing as Christianity. There'd be no solution for the sinful nature of mankind. Now, you can try to change the outside of you. You can try to change the way you act. You can try behavioral modification. But it will not last. And even if it lasts for the next 10 years, you want to know something? It won't cut it with God. Because when you and I die, the Bible tells us when we die, then comes judgment. And every one of us will stand before God, and we're going to have to tell God what our excuse was for our life. And I want to share something with you about God. He's very just. He's very stable. He's very true to Himself and very true to righteousness. And there's not one of us here today, myself included, not any of us, who could stand before God and say, you know, God, I think You ought to accept me and I ought to go to heaven because I'm just a wonderful guy. I'm really wonderful. I mean, I just tried. I did the best I could. I was religious and I gave at church regularly and I did the best I could with my family. I never cheated on my wife. And God will look at you and say, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? Well, I knew about Him. What did you do with Him? Did you accept Him? I mean, I sent my son to die. I realized Christ. He was tormented for you. He paid for our sin. You see, the deal you get with God, we have kind of the reverse of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had everything, and they decided to lose it all. Now, many of us say, hey, if I'd have been in the garden, I wouldn't have done that. What imbeciles. I would have never done that. Okay, if that's true, then you'll accept Christ today. Because God is offering you paradise. God is offering you right now an abundant life, a brand new life. He's offering to exchange His greatness for our ugliness. His beauty for our sin. And even exchange, you give Him yours, as she was singing this morning, you give Him your broken heart, you give Him your troubles, you give Him your burdens, you give Him your sin, and He'll give you His nature instead for free. The Bible tells us in Romans that the wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can live forever. I am immortal. Did you know that? I know Christ. I am immortal. You can kill me and I will not die. You kill me and I'm instantly living forever in heaven with Christ. Christ brings a power to our life that we do not have alone to overcome our bad, ugly habits. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Christ gives you that ability to choose love when you don't feel like loving. He gives you that ability to discipline yourself when you've been undisciplined all your life. He fills your life with power. You may say to yourself, well, you know, Mark, I'm a pretty loving person. Did you know that technically, biblically speaking, without Christ, there is no such thing as love? You see, God is love. The Bible tells us God is love. 1 John chapter 4, you can read that yourself. If God is love, apart from God, there is no love. There is no love without God. Now, the kind of love I'm talking about is not sensual love. And it's not friendship love. I'm talking about unconditional love. I love you no matter what you do to me, no matter how bad you hurt me, no matter how bad you beat me, no matter how bad you cuss me out, no matter what you do to me, spit in my face, walk on my shoes, pull my hair, I love you. That is the kind of love we're talking about with God. And I want to tell you something. You've been married very long. You realize you've got to have that kind of love in marriage or it's not going to make it. Because you're going to get spit on and called a name. And hate is going to be going on. Because we're two sinners trying to live under the same roof. And it doesn't work very good. It doesn't work very good. In fact, it does not work hardly at all without Jesus Christ. Without Christ, you're just maintaining. Most people in America who stay married, studies show they are unhappily married. Christ is the key to that. The Bible goes on to tell us that everyone who is born of God loves, for God is love. Whoever loves is born of God. Whoever is born of God loves. Whoever does not love is not know God because God is love. I have people tell me all the time, Mark, I think I'm a Christian. You know how you know if a person's a Christian? Number one, they love people who are other Christians. They like fellowship. They love to be around Christian people. And two, they love to do what God says. They love to do what His commands are. The Bible says this is love for God that we obey Him whom He sent. That we obey. Now, if you don't like those two things, chances are you don't know Christ. If there's not love in your marriage, unconditional love, if you find yourself always reverting back to, dog, I can't stand this person. If you find yourself always having strings attached to your love, you do not know God. You need God's love. The Bible tells us in Romans that the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart when we ask Christ into our life. You have nothing to lose with Christ and everything to gain. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. I want to encourage you this morning to invite Christ into your life. Make Him a vibrant part of your life. Someone might ask, what do I do? How do I do that? I have people ask me this. I'm always amazed when I get done with a message that to me seemed very clear. Yet there are so many stereotypes out to people who go, now Mark, now is it really that simple? Yes, it's this simple. Do I need to change anything in my life? No, you do not need to change anything in your life. Do I need to really go home and just cry and really, really beg God to come into my life? No, you do not need to do that. Do I need to walk down this aisle? No, you do not need to do that. Do I need to, look at a crucifix when I do it? No, you do not need to do that. Do I need to go home and light candles in my house and make it seem religious? No, you do not need to do that. What you need to do is simply ask Christ to come into your life and forgive you. Admit your need. That's the problem with Americans. We're not admitting any need. You know why it's cool to go to a psychiatrist today? Did you know it's cool to have a therapist today? Have you ever noticed? Yes, I'm going to see my therapist. Oh, is that cool? You know why we think it's cool? Because we don't think seeing a therapist is our fault. It's mom and dad's fault. See, they screwed my life up so bad that I recognize how messed up they made my life. I'm going to get help. But ask somebody sometime, well, whose fault is it you're going? Well, it's mine. I'm a mess, and I messed my life up. I don't hear anybody ever, hardly ever say that to me. Because we do not like to admit our need. Some of us here have a very, very high estimation of ourselves. We just think we're God's gift to the planet. We just think we're God's gift to our mate. It's all them. It's not all them. And in fact, if you had Christ in your life, they could treat you like garbage. And you would stay with them for the rest of your life because you have God's love in you. God promises never to leave us or forsake us. Love conquers. And if you had that kind of love, I've talked to so many men and women who left just a little too soon. It got too hot. If they would have had Christ, and if they would have had His love, eventually they would have broke the hard nut. They would have cracked the rock. Love cracks us, see? It's love that draws us to Christ. It's the fact that we know He loves us no matter how messed up we've made our lives. I was talking to an individual about 2 months ago. A woman came up to me after the Overcoming a Dysfunctional Past series. She said, Mark, she said, I did what you said this morning. This morning when you closed, I invited Christ into my life. She said, now, you sure that's all there was to it and that He came in? I said, if you did, He's in. He's in you. Right now, He's in you. He lives in you. See, that's what happens when you ask Christ to come in. He, boom, God moves in. God doesn't live up there. He lives there and in you when you invite Him in. And the Bible calls it being born again. You become a brand new person, except you're a baby. And then there's growing to do, but you're an infant. You're brand new. She said, okay. A couple of weeks ago, she came up to me during the series. She said, Mark, this is so exciting. God's been changing my marriage. These things have been helping me. They all make sense. And I said, you know why? She said, yes, because Christ is in me. That's the difference. I was talking with a couple the other day, and they had been coming for a couple years. And after about, I think, about a year, they both came to know Christ. And they said, you know, it was interesting, Mark, when we first started coming, all we heard was the music and the practicalness. We didn't even realize you were talking about the Bible. And I quote Bible verses all the time. I said, in the Bible this, in the Bible that. They said, you know, we never heard it. And then after a couple months, we started realizing, wait, he's saying the Bible. So we started hearing that, and then after quite a while, we realized He's telling us we need Christ. And we ask Christ into our life. There's a process, you see, that goes on. You need Christ in your life. If someone would come up to me and say, Mark, what's the secret to your life? I'd say, Christ. Isn't me. It's Christ. He comes in and makes you brand new. You see, we don't have the respect for God that we really need. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. We are nothing. In fact, it's thankfully Him that we're even alive here today. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 17 that in Him we live, we breathe, we move. If He decided to cut off our air supply, we'd be dead. I have a little poem back in my notebook. It says, if God were to go on strike. It just reads, if God were to go on strike. I love it. I should bring it out and read it to you. I will try to next week or the week following. If God were to go on strike. Let's just suppose one day God decided to get selfish. He decided, you know, have you ever thought about it for a minute? How God tolerates this planet? How does God tolerate parents who are burning their kids' little hands? Who hold their head in a toilet bowl? Who beat them and throw them downstairs? Husbands who knock their wives? How does God tolerate that? If He wasn't a loving God, I'll tell you right now, He'd just cremate us. He'd burn us to a crisp. We'd be dead. And one day, He will. The Bible says that. One day, there'll be no more grace. It'll be over. That portion of God's time frame will be over. And then God will judge men according to what they've done. And there'll be no Jesus to cling on to. But right now, we get Christ. You see, without Christ, we'd be nothing. We'd be absolutely nothing. God would not tolerate this because it's ludicrous. You look at this, you look at society, and we've gone insane. The way we treat one another. I'll tell you something. Noah's Ark is not a lie. Noah's Ark was not a myth. God finally got to a point that He despised the world. And He flooded the entire planet. He flooded it. He destroyed it. And He started all over. He started all over with Noah, a righteous man. And let me tell you, we've gotten every bit as wicked since that time. And I just thank God that He was willing to die for me. You see, I understand my humanity. I understand that without Jesus Christ, my marriage would be over already. I wouldn't even be here. My marriage would have ended a long time ago. I wouldn't even be able to sustain a marriage with my temper, with my self-centeredness and my selfishness. I would have destroyed every relationship that I touched. And 17 years ago, Christ came into my life. And He began to change me. He began to make me something I wasn't before. All you have to do this morning when I close, save a few more things I want to touch on, is bow your head as I bow my head and just ask Christ silently, Lord, come into my life. I need You. Come in and forgive me. If You're willing to forgive me, God, I want that. And let Him forgive you. And let Him come into your life. And then you're in God's family. See, you're not in God's family until you let Christ come into your life. Just because you're a human being and you belong to the family of mankind does not mean you belong to the family of God. It's something that you can choose today. It's something that you must choose today. God will not force it on you. The second thing I want to share with you is very important. This is for those of you who do this today and for those of you who already know Christ. Some of you in this room have known Christ for a long time and you've been playing games with God. You've been playing games in your marriage. You haven't been playing by the rules. I want to share something with you. In the scripture that John said, Jesus was very frank about what He said. Here's what He said. You obey Me, you're wise. You put into practice what I say, and when the storms of life come, your house will stand strong. Some of your houses, they're starting to rattle really heavy. And you thought to yourself, when I got Christ in my life, I thought everything would get better. No, that's not true. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. If you do not get into the Word of God and find out what God wants you to do in your marriage. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is death. Ignorance will ruin your life. And many of us are deliberately ignorant. Many of us, you see, we don't want to find out what God wants because that would mean we have to change. That would mean we have to leave our comfort zone. I want to tell you something. If you and I are not willing to change, your marriage will not ever be what God intended it to be. God is very frank what He has to say about marriage. Very simple. Fathers, husbands, this. Mothers, wives, this. Children, do this. Employees, be this way. Employers, be this way. Use your money, this way. Interact with people, this way. Have this kind of attitude in relationships, this way. The Bible speaks to every single issue that you and I deal with every day. And if you begin, if you continue walking away from what God has to say to you, deliberately walking away, one day the rains will rain hard enough and the flood will be swift enough and it will devastate your life. Those are the words of Jesus. That is what he said. Jesus Christ must be the center of your life and of your marriage. It's just like walking a balance beam of life. If Christ is not the center, you're going to keep falling on the balance beam, and one of these days you're going to break your pelvis. And one of these days you may break it beyond repair, and you won't walk again. Emotionally, you won't rebound. It is of the utmost importance, Jesus told Moses, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ignorance is not an excuse. Let me tell you what our world is like. Our world, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to family, when it comes to ethics, when it comes to morality, they have thrown out God's way of doing things. They tell you that if you want to do what God says today, you're bogus, you're crazy, you're old-fashioned, you're an idiot. Well, let's talk about who really is the idiot. Is my life being devastated? Those of you who know Christ here today, if you're following Christ, is your life being devastated? Look at the people out there. You know what they're like? They're like the guy who decides one day as he's driving down the highway thinking, I'm tired of paying a dollar a gallon for gas. I think I'm going to come up with a new plan. Water would make a good source of fuel. I'm just going to start diluting my gasoline a little bit at a time with water. So he adds a little bit the first time. Doesn't want to go too far. He's experimenting. And he's driving down the road. And all of a sudden, he's got a situation where he needs some quick energy. He has a push on the gas and it's kind of sputters. Oh my gosh, there's a car coming. If he don't get over quick, he's going to die. Well, all of a sudden, because there's not too much water in there, he makes it. Whoa! And his heart's pounding, pounding, pounding. He thinks to himself, well, I know the problem. I didn't use enough water. I think I'll put more in next time. So he adds more water. Now I know all of you thinking, Mark, you're an idiot. That's what I think of society. They're idiots. That's what God thinks of them. They're fools. And finally, one day, he puts so much water in, his wife's giving birth. They got to get to the hospital. He runs out to start the car, and the imbecile's car won't start. Why? Because he thought water was a better plan. But the people who designed the gasoline engine, the internal combustion engine, knew it will not work with water. You must put fuel in it. Gasoline, petroleum. God knows the same thing, my friends, about life. And we have people who are burning, crashing and burning every day in our world. And do you know why? Because we've turned our backs on God. I want to share something with you. I mean this lovingly. I mean this sincerely. You cannot turn your back on God and get away with it. Not that God will be out to get you. It's simply like the law of gravity. If you decide to walk off this building, you're going to go down. And you're going to splat on the ground. Did God make it happen? Did God sort of accelerate you as you started falling and said, there, take that. No, he did not. It's a natural law of life. God has made natural laws of the spiritual realm and of marriage and of family life. And if you follow them, you will have success. If Christ, if you make Christ the Lord of your life, if you make him number one in your life, then no matter what difficulties you go through, you have an anchor to your life. You have a solid foundation. But if you don't, you have nothing to fall back on. You have no safety net. You have nothing to grab. You don't know where to go. I can honestly say that in all the difficulties, and I've been very honest with you about the difficulties my wife and I have had in our marriage, I'd be the first one to say we've had many of them. But we're enjoying today greater success in our marriage than ever before. And the number one reason is because we invited Christ into our life. The number two reason is because we didn't just invite him there for fire insurance. We invited him into our life and determined to obey everything he said to do. And that has been our life's pursuit ever since we've been married. So, when we get into a giant fight and I would think, you're wrong, then I'd go, wait a minute, what does God have to say to me? And inevitably, God would show me, I was wrong, and if I did this, the situation would change. But again, you see, we don't often like that. We want someone to blame. I want to encourage those of you here today, as we close this morning, who do know Christ, to commit yourself today to make Him the center of your life. The center. You know how you know He's the center? Because you're reading your Bible regularly. You see, not to read your Bible is to sort of put earplugs in your ear and not listen to God. God doesn't talk in the clouds. God doesn't sort of mystically come to you over your radio waves. He speaks to you through the Bible. And if you deliberately stay away from it, He cannot talk to you. And you're deliberately shutting God out. Two, fellowship, church life. You know, this is not like recreation time. This is time to grow in your Christian faith. This is time to learn more about God and grow. But you know what's interesting? A lot of times we have to make decisions, don't we, about showing up here on Sunday or Friday. Well, I'm a little tired today. Well, who do you love more, sleep or God? Those are all the kinds of decisions we make in our life. We need to be around people who support a positive value system of God. You'll find, I've had many people tell me, Mark, small groups saved my marriage. I said, how? Because I got around people who really believed marriage could work, and they did it God's way. And it showed me a positive example, and it gave me the encouragement to keep going. That's what the Bible calls fellowship. You need it in your life. Those are the things you know. You know who you love most by how you live your life. You know who's Lord of your life by how you make decisions in your life. It's the only way you know. I'd like you to bow your head this morning. And as I close in prayer this morning, if you're here today and you do not know Christ, I want to encourage you, invite Him into your life. Because He will make the difference in your life. He will save your life. He will save you now and forever. He will give you abundance in your life. He'll bring peace to your life. He'll bring joy to your life. And if you know Christ here today, I want to encourage you to make a commitment to obey Him like never before. Friday night, a young woman came up to me who I've known for some time. I got to know her about a month ago. After she'd spent about a month in the hospital for stress and depression, she'd come to one of our services and said, I'd never been to anything like it. She'd been through so much treatment, and I said, listen, you need the Word of God in your life. You need the Word of God in your life. You need fellowship. She's been coming for the last 2 months. She's been listening to almost two or three tapes every day, reading her Bible, doing it. And she came up to me and said, Mark, I cannot believe it's happened. I feel so much peace, so much joy in my life. I feel so much calmness. My therapist can't even believe it. And I said, do you know why? Because one, God kept His word, and because two, you did what you needed to do. You obeyed God. You obey God, and your life will change. It will change. Let's bow our heads together. And as I close in prayer, just remember God can hear you praying at the same time He does me. You have to pray out loud. You just tell Him in your heart, Lord, I believe I want You to come into my life today and forgive me. Or you tell Him, Lord, today, my wife and my spouse, I'm determined to obey what Your Word says, to build my life on the solid rock. Lord, I just thank You this morning so much for Your faithfulness. Lord, I thank You so much that You keep Your Word, that You do what Your Word says. As the book of Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, Lord, these things were written that we might know the right choice in every situation, that we might be able to make solid, good, sound decisions. Many of us, Lord, myself included, have had so much difficulty in our life because we've made bad decisions, because we haven't got good advice. Oh God, I pray today that You'd help us to adhere to Your Word, to listen to Your Word, to get into Your Word and understand that it's not just a nice little thing out there. It's hidden treasure that will make our life go so awesome and successful. The Bible tells us, Lord, You hold victory in store for the upright. I pray, God, for those here today who really need You. They may be struggling right now as to whether or not they want to invite You into their life. God, help them to know that You love them. Help them to understand, Lord, what's at stake. Help them to realize, Lord, that You'll accept them just like they are. If they'll simply open the door and allow You to come in, You'll save them, You'll change their life. Help them, Lord, make that decision today. God, help these couples here today to go out determined like never before that we are going to commit to a biblical marriage. We are going to commit ourselves, each husband and each wife. I'm going to obey what God says of me to do. God, I pray that you do that. I pray that we'd be willing to stop blaming other people for our problems and realize, Lord, that in an instant, you could do a miracle in our life if we would let you. Thank you, Lord, so much for each person here, for each life. They're precious to you. I thank you so much for bringing them to Evergreen. Thank you so much, God, for the unique things, the beautiful things you're doing in their life. Pray, God, you'd watch over them, bless them, give them success on their way. In Jesus' name, amen.